The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. Here's an old classic that sounds just as good today as it did when we were kids. Another edition of Talking Metal. This is Mark Striegel, and we have a very special show with two very special guests and a very special co-host. Back with us on today's episode, Emily Striegel. Emily, how are you?
I'm crazed.
You're crazed?
Crazed. Crazy busy, but good. Happy. How you doing?
I'm good, although my headphone volume is so loud at the moment that I shouldn't do this?
No.
Do not do that. Oh my God.
All right. Now that I'm deaf, let's...
Look at Pearl looking at me.
Yeah, Pearl's in the bed. Emily just screamed, and Pearl is upset, and I'm deaf. Anyways, Emily, who do we have on the show today?
Tom Kiefer. Oh, my God.
Wow. Back on the show. I was trying to remember. I think I interviewed him the last time. Does that sound correct?
Never interviewed him. I would remember that because I'm the biggest Tom Kiefer fan / Cinderella / all of it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It's been a number of years. The last time he was on, I believe he was promoting his first Tom Kiefer record.
I saw them on that tour.
Yeah,
do you remember?
Three, 4 years ago at this point?
Yeah, I guess. It seems like 3 years ago. Yeah. I don't know the exact date, but it was in New York City and they played... it was a place that was kind of like Sony Music Hall, but I don't think it was. It was similar.
And we've seen them at least twice since then. You've seen them three times.
M3, we saw them twice.
I saw them twice. You weren't at 2018.
Yeah, correct. Last year.
M3, but yeah.
They didn't play 2019.
And they played M3 2017. So, yeah, and then you saw them just last week in Morristown. Anyways, who's our other guest?
Svetlana. Pearl's kissing me. Svetlana Blitznikova.
Yeah, also known as Savy from the band Savy. So she is here. And big thanks to Steven Saylor once again coming through with a request for us to interview a really great artist. And Steven, I love when you request artists here on the podcast because I get exposed to their music a lot of the time. And I had heard of Savy, but I wasn't overly familiar with them. And wow, what great music. So first off, let's just say coming into the episode, we heard a classic by Cinderella, Tom Kiefer's old band, I guess I'd say at this point, since they've been inactive for a number of years now. That was the classic Night Songs off the Night Songs album, and man, that was a big album for me, Emily. I really loved it. I had it on picture disc. I think I still have it downstairs on picture
we
disc.
Do.
So great. And yeah, so what an honor to have Tom Kiefer back on the podcast. But right now, let's get into a little music by Savy. This is a song from a couple of years ago. This is called Am I Alive?
I
Savey. Yeah, great stuff there. And that, I believe, was off the previous album, not the new album, which is called Follow Me. So let's right now get into your interview, Emily, with Tom Kiefer. Set this up for us. Now, you had seen Tom play during the week, right?
Yes. So his guitarist, Tony, who's been on the podcast at least a couple times, I have interviewed him at M3 and you've interviewed him. He invited us to come down to this acoustic set they were doing in Morristown, New Jersey, really close to where we live. The WDHA was putting on, and it was really
cool. That's a radio station out of, I think, Dover, New Jersey.
Yeah, and it was obvious they had a very close relationship with that station, and it was just a one-off kind of thing where they came out to do it, so it was really cool.
The station Eddie Trunk got his FM radio start there.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And so
was on that station for many years, I believe.
He was. So, you know, the audience had all, I think, had to win their way in.
Right.
So it was a really hardcore audience, and it was very, very cool to see them in such an intimate environment.
Cool. Well, without further ado, let's get into your interview here with the one and only Tom Kiefer.
Hello, Talking Metal listeners. This is Emily Striegel coming at you on this fine fall day. I'm so very excited to have with me the legendary Mr. Tom Kiefer. How are you today, Tom?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. Awesome to have you with us. First of all, I just want to say congratulations on the release of your brand new, totally kick-ass album with the Tom Kiefer Band called Rise, released just a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah, it's been out. It came out on the 13th of September. So
it's so good.
I'm not good at math, so about a couple
weeks. feels like a couple of weeks ago anyway. Yeah. So it's so good and so heavy and like hooks you right out of the gate, you know, with your trademark hard rock and blues sound. So congrats on that.
Well, thank you very much. We had a great time making it with this band. You know, we've developed such a cool chemistry between us musically and personally over the last 6 years of touring. It was a real pleasure and pretty effortless to track these songs and create the record. So we had a good time doing it.
That's awesome. It's always nice when you enjoy your work. So Tony Higby is a buddy of mine, and he, for our listeners, that's Tom's amazing guitarist, and he had me come to your acoustic set this week in Jersey that WDHA radio station put on. And it was amazing because it was like this small audience. It was people who'd won, I think, you know, a contest through the radio. It was so cool to see you in such an intimate setting. How was that for you?
It was fun. It was really cool. You know, those are always the most nerve-wracking, that, you know, when you're stripping it down and just a smaller audience. I always say, you know, the loud rock and roll show with the whole band for 20,000 people is much less nerve-wracking, but it was fun. You know, you kind of get to do a different spin on the songs, and you got to think about it a bit, you know. Yeah. To do Death of Me acoustic, like, how's that gonna
exactly
work? And you know, because you know, but yeah, it was fun. We had a very good time.
Yeah, you have to kind of figure out change the arrangement entirely, kind of, to do that kind of setting. So that was yeah, really cool, though. You've done that in some of your live shows, though. I remember I saw you back in New York, like maybe on your first tour with the Tom Kiefer Band, and I think you guys broke it. You stripped it down and did some acoustic stuff. Do you still do that in your live show now?
You know, we haven't done that for a few years. You know, I mean, we still have kind of have the dynamics of having ballads and stuff here and there. But what you're talking about in particular was the first year, kind of mid-set, we just sat down on stools and and did like a mini set within the set. I believe we did like one for Rock and Roll and the acoustic version of Don't Know What You Got and Ask Me Yesterday from, if I remember, and a couple others. So that's fun. I mean, that's a cool breather sometimes in the middle of a show, you know, if you really have a lot of slamming high energy, to kind of bring the dynamic down for a minute and then build back out of that.
Yeah. So I remember that. That was really cool. So at the show on Tuesday, I think it was you and Tony and then Kendra, the backup singer, and then your lovely wife, Savannah, on backing vocals. And the thing that struck me and that always strikes me, and exactly what you just said, it's abundantly obvious that you guys are a tight-knit group. So tell me a little bit about the writing process on this album. I'm assuming it was a very collaborative effort.
Well, starting with you know, even prior to the way life goes, Savannah and I have been writing together and working together for years. So she and I have pretty much co-written everything on both the the Way Life Goes and Rise. But we've brought in other writers to work with too. There were a bunch of other writers we worked with on The Way Life Goes. And on this, on the new record, Rise in particular, Kendra Chantel, who you mentioned, one of our bandmates, she wrote Touching the Divine with us. And the title track, Rise, we actually wrote with Thompson Square, the country duo.
Oh, right.
Kiefer and Shauna. Yeah, Kiefer and Shauna are really good friends of ours, and we've written with them a few times. And that song kind of fell out one day. And we thought, wow, this is this should probably be on the record. So so that was the writing process for this record, you know. And You Believe in Me, I wrote myself for Savannah.
Oh, that's amazing. Amazing. So is that how it works? You just said the song fell out of you. Is that how it works, Tom?
Well, it's, yeah, I mean, that's what you'd wait for, you know.
Yeah.
And I think all of the songs on this new record are fresh ideas from, I would say, you know, from the time this band formed and we started touring in 2013. None of these songs are like leftover ideas from any other project. They're all new ideas. So Savannah and I both write from a place of lyrics first. I always have, even, you know, dating back to the early Cinderella stuff, even the heaviest songs where people might think that started with a guitar riff, they always start with a lyric. And then the lyric kind of dictates, you know, because that lyric, now you have the subject matter and the emotion that the song's about. And then that tells you what kind of track it is. You know, is it a heavy track? Is it a ballad? Is it on an acoustic guitar? Because you want to project that emotion in the right way musically. So, you know, the process is always like, you know, when you write that way, you're just walking around all day analyzing your thoughts, you know, like, mm-hmm. and thinking, is that a song idea? Nah, that sucks. Is this a song? Oh, that might be. Let's write that down. Let's store that idea. And so the last 6 years, you know, being on the journey with this new band and kind of out having a new adventure, there's been a lot of inspiration and a lot of song ideas that came to us, which we just kind of stored. I never really finished them on the road because it's so hectic when you're touring.
Sure.
And we just pulled all these ideas out last year when we got off the road and decided to record a record. And, you know, there was 11 ideas out of that just really leaped out, and we just decided to, as I say, finish the book at that point, you know, where you just write the song, you sit down and you finish it. And if it's a good idea, in answer to your question, if it really is a true emotion and something that's a really solid idea, it does just fall out.
Yeah, that's really cool.
These songs, yeah, they kind of write themselves when they really feel like something that's meaningful to you. So the writing went really quick at that point. You know, there were really 11 obvious ones to us that we loved. Started finishing them out, and then taking, literally as we were finishing them up, we were taking them into the tracking room with the band and just laying them down. And, you know, at that point, the creativity of the band comes in terms of the arrangements and the parts. And that part of it was just really easy because we literally had just stepped off the bus of 6 years of touring and went into the studio. So we were so tight, and everyone in the band is so creative and such great musicians and singers that there not a lot had to be spoken in the room.
Right.
It was like, you know, I kind of just start singing and playing the song, and it's, you know, raw form, and everyone just kind of fell in and started they instantly kind of found the right energy.
In the same room, are you guys all in Nashville?
Mm-hmm.
So you're actually talking about being in the same room. I mean, you know how rare that is nowadays.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, not only in the same room, I mean, this record is probably the least amount of overdubbing I've ever done on a record.
Wow.
A lot of these tracks are actually live performances right off the tracking floor. I mean, we purposely chose a very small, tight studio that we were all in, kind of looking each other in the eye, right in each other's faces, put on the headphones, hit record. And, you know, like if it was the death of me, we were saying, well, we need some angst and heavy and energy here. And, you know, and that's what we went for. And we just keep doing passes and takes till we had that performance that we wanted and really recorded it as a band and really tried to preserve as much of the live feel that went down and performance in the tracking sessions as we could.
You succeeded.
Different than most records. Different than most records I've worked on in the past.
Yeah. And,
you know, like I said, even some of my lead vocals we kept from the tracking dates. We didn't go back and redo them.
It's amazing. And I got to tell you, I really love the videos for, I've seen two, one for Rise and one for Death of Me. And I just got to say, I appreciate the band, the fact that you guys made these videos, because not everyone does that anymore and puts the time and the money into it. And coming from, you know, I'm an MTV baby, you know, I really dig having the videos.
I love that art form. Obviously I came up in a decade where that was really, you know, was coming into being, you know, and really becoming a viable art form. And, you know, the right video can just kind of make a song come to life. And I think that The Death of Me was so much fun to make because of the subject matter of the song and the amount of, you know, heaviness and angst that's in that track. We wanted to portray that, you know, so it was fun to smash things.
And, it was great.
You know, and also to kind of like, by way of example, we came up with that idea of the intro where the TV's kind of talking to me and reminding me of some of my challenges. And then I got to smash that TV.
Yeah.
And, you know, just kind of saying goodbye to those vocal problems and those legal problems and the other things that are listed on that screen. Mm-hmm. That's a powerful thing to do. And, we put, you know, that's a slice of my life's challenges, but mm-hmm. everybody has their own. So I really encourage and hope that when people watch that video, that they'll envision their own things on that TV, you know, and
yes,
and envision smashing them and making them go away in your mind, because it's a good feeling.
Yeah. And, you know, lyrically, you have a gift because the lyrics for Rise, The Death of Me, a lot of the songs on the album are about overcoming and resilience and getting through hard times. Everyone can relate to that. And that's something you've always done really, really well, is write music that about your own experience, but it's so relatable.
Well, I think that goes to, that is a place I've written from for years. You know, even a song like Nobody's Fool is about getting over heartbreak, but in a way of kind of saying, fuck you, you know,
exactly.
you're not going to be the death of me. Right? So we've actually been referring to the death of me, as the angry, nobody's fool. So,
that's great.
When you write from a perspective of lyrics first, and like I said, you're walking around constantly analyzing your thoughts and what you're observing in the world and what you're hearing and feeling. And you wait for those things that feel really real. You know, that's when you know when you feel that, that's when you know you have something that's relatable, I think. And working with Savannah is just amazing, because she writes the same way, and she tends to really write from that strength, finding strength in your adversity too a lot. So, you know, The Death of Me, really, she wrote, you know, 95% of that lyric. She just handed it to me. We were sitting in the living room one day and she was typing away on her computer and she said, what do you think of this? And I was like, I can really relate to this.
Because you guys, you're a team. She knows you.
Yeah, a lot of people can relate to this.
Yeah. So, oh, it's so relatable. You know, everyone admires your relationship with Savannah. Everyone in the rock scene talks about you guys being this amazing power couple. And so I was sitting next to her at the bar after your show, and she's talking mm-hmm. about you two having a little listening party on the couch recently, just the two of you. And I was super excited mm-hmm. to hear what you were listening to. Do you remember? You probably have a lot of listening parties, but
I don't remember. I honestly don't remember.
You were listening to, and your son came in. I think your son came in and kind of like rolled his eyes or something, or made a face. But she said you guys were listening to Rush.
Oh no! Yeah. Okay. No, actually, she came back upstairs to the green room. I was up there hanging with some of the radio people and stuff, and she actually came back up and said she was talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
Thing, he definitely rolls his eyes when that one, and he loves classic rock, but he gets a little tired of hearing 2112.
But man, I just love the fact that I love thinking about Savannah and Tom sitting on the couch and probably analyzing the entire album. Was that kind of what that scene looked like?
Well, actually, see, that's something that we don't analyze.
You just sit back and listen.
So, you know, when you go back and listen to stuff from your youth and when you came, were growing up and coming of age. And, it's just like, you know, you feel like Wayne and Garth. It's like, you know, those are the legends to me. And
totally.
I don't analyze the Stones. I don't analyze Rush. I don't analyze Kansas and, you know, Skinner. I just enjoy it, you know. It's just, to me, it's just amazing music. It's what I grew up on. So that actually the kind of music that we can listen to and step away from, feel like we step away from the art form.
Sure.
In a sense, because when it's your own stuff, you never really hear it like other people do. You know, you're always hearing the flaws and all. So, I usually don't listen to, records after we're done making them for a long time because you've heard it a gazillion times in the process. So it's really hard to, but, the videos help because, you know, you obviously have to listen to it when you're working on the editing and the visual's a distraction.
So
you're not really analyzing the music, but you're kind of hearing it more like maybe the way other people hear it. So that's
totally
always refreshing when you get that thing that has a visual that's a little bit of a shiny object that distracts you from all the things on the track that bother you. So.
Love it. So you were talking a little bit about some of your early influences. I always love to ask people, what was your first album? Do you know?
The Monkees.
It was. My God.
Yeah, like I think albums in were like $4 and I bought it in Woolworth or something. I love that show.
Oh my gosh. And, well, funny story. Go ahead. Tell me first and I'll tell you my story.
Well, the song, I still sometimes go back and listen to it. The songwriting is amazing.
It is.
The vocals, particularly Mickey Dolenz, I just loved his voice.
Oh,
me too. Kind of smooth, cool rasp.
Yeah.
And Ned Smith's guitar playing was great, but the songs, you know, they were just great songs, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, Mickey Dolenz could do like, he could do like the jazz stuff. Remember that song Going Down when he's like scatting and stuff and doing the, so the Monkees were my first concert. Their 87 reunion tour. So that was without Ned Smith, of course. And then Cinderella was my second concert ever. And it was on Heartbreak Station. And so I'd been to my Monkee show, right? A couple years before or whatever, at the Fort Wayne Coliseum, Fort Wayne, Indiana. And it was seats on the floor at the Monkee show, right? So I'm jumping up on my seat and everything. So then I go to this one. It must have been a couple years late. I don't know the time difference, but I thought it would be the same type of deal, but it was general admission, right? So here I am, this tiny little pipsqueak, probably like 12 or 13 years old. And I want to be up in the front. And so I start making my way up before the show starts and Lynch Mob was opening and the lights went down and you know, that push, you know,
and
oh my gosh, they pulled me out of the audience within like 30 seconds. Cause I was like just getting crushed like this tiny little, but I was devastated cause I wanted to be up there to wave at Tom Kiefer and say, hey, here I am, you know,
those general admission shows. I mean, they're, you know, we love them from the perspective of the energy that's in those GA shows, you know, cause the seats keep things a little more contained, but yeah, they can get a little dicey.
They get a little rowdy.
I've seen hallways at, you know, backstage of some of the arenas just filled like an infirmary of people that were pulled out and lined up, you know, we'd go kind of go say hi to them.
Oh my gosh.
All, you know, because it would get so hot and
people pass out and Well, I learned my lesson at that show. But anyway, so back to the record, Rise. Everyone, all of our Talking Metal listeners, check it out. You are going to love it. It is heavy. I mean, I like heavy and I like as soon as that slide guitar, you know, that slide starts in that first track, I was just like, okay, done, sold, take my money. I expect they're going to, I know you've already started some shows, started a little bit of touring, but what can we expect as far as seeing you out on the road?
Yeah, we did a 6-week leg and then we came home for a few weeks for me to kind of do some press and stuff. It's hard for me to double duty that when I'm doing shows because of the, you know, the voice condition.
Yes.
So I have to be careful. So we took a break to right after it was released and been doing lots of press and we're heading back out in October for a little bit. We're going to take a break over the holidays and just keep touring behind the record and sharing the music with everyone out there through next year.
Cool. Hardest working band in the biz. Keep up the great work. Can't wait to see you when you come out east. And everyone, check it out. Tom Kiefer Band's Rise. Tom, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Striegel and Tom Kiefer. What was that song right there, Emily?
The Death of Me. It's called The Death of Me. And they actually performed this acoustically in Morristown, which I was very impressed because they had to totally kind of obviously redo the arrangement in order for it to come off acoustically.
So the whole show in Morristown was acoustic?
Correct.
Because we never really spoke about that.
Correct. Yet. No, it was just Tony and Tom, and then the two backup singers, which are, of course, Kendra, who's been with them forever, and Savannah, which is Tom's wife.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah, I just saw a picture of Tom and his wife on Instagram.
They had their anniversary. Happy anniversary to Savannah and Tom.
There you go. And yeah, great stuff. And we look forward to catching Tom live when he comes through town again. And what else? Little news, Metallica announcing a bunch of dates, right?
Yeah, I they were saying on Blabbermouth that they're getting ready to announce 2020 festivals, U.S. Right. festivals. And it just rubbed me the wrong way, like in a big way, because as most people know, James just went back into rehab and he's been struggling for on and off for a number of years. So why can't you just let it go and be quiet and let him heal and get better without having your publicist going out and saying, we're trying to make announcements for big tours in 2020. Just let him heal and figure it out and get his life back on track. Just
I'm sorry, but shut up for a while.
Right.
It's
give
not
it a
like
break.
The shows aren't going to sell out.
His health needs to come first.
It's 2020.
You know,
the shows
I can
are going to sell
both
out.
Ways, honestly.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I can't. I yeah. can't. They need to just stop
I mean,
talking.
Because we don't know what's going on. You know, James could be saying, for all we know, they could have been like, let's hold off on any announcement. And James saying, no, I'm going to be well.
No,
I
you're
can't
right.
wait to do this.
Maybe.
I need to know that those shows are going on to get me through this. I mean, we don't know the circumstances. However, I my first reaction is what
no.
you're saying now.
Even if he's saying that to him or to them, sorry, if James is saying, no, guys, I'm in. We need to keep on promoting. No, you don't. You right. need to take a step back, totally out of Metallica, concentrate on James and getting healthy. And that means no promotion, no announcing new shows for 2020. It infuriated me, to be honest with you, knowing so many people who've been in treatment and rehab. That's not what, you know, that shouldn't be a priority at all.
Right. Another big story on Blabbermouth, of course, Tobias Forge of Ghost announcing that none of the Nameless Ghouls will be on the next album. And that comes from our episode last week, guys, our Talking Metal episode. So that was great. I always appreciate it when Blabbermouth does a little transcription of our interviews. And in this case, a massive transcription. I mean, that's not easy. They had somebody sitting down for hours and hours typing out the interview and putting it up there. And that always brings us more listens and more subscribers. And we've had a weird kind of mysterious, I mean, ghost, people say ghost is mysterious. We've had a mysterious relationship with Blabbermouth through the years because I don't think in the early days, like back in 2005, 2006, occasionally I would get an email back from them when I'd send them a release saying, hey, thanks. But I send them a lot of interviews and some they post and transcribe and others they don't. But I have not had any emails back from them like, hey, thanks for sending the link, or hey, we're gonna post this in since 2006. So it's and I know they get the links I send them because then they end up on the Blabbermouth.
Well,
but I think they kind of troll me too, because there's been
good.
Certain things
as they should
that I haven't sent Blabbermouth that has ended
Guess
up
what?
On Blabbermouth.
Here's the deal. It's project management. They are swamped. They're huge
well,
now.
Well, I think they
so
don't want
to
have relationships
to
with the people that they're, because then
well, yeah,
it seems like they're
ghosts.
Playing favorites, you know?
No.
Well,
yeah.
They love, Blabbermouth loves ghosts. Anything ghost, they post.
Yeah. But I will say they don't have time to be responding to everyone, but I do feel like they do give us a lot of attention,
they
Talking
do.
Metal,
oh,
and it's
absolutely.
Nice.
Absolutely.
It's great.
We love Blabbermouth. It's great. The pie when it comes to our success through the years, and that's been the exposure they've given us, and I'm always appreciative
I don't
of
expect
that.
An email back from them. You know what I mean?
Like right,
it's
right.
great. It's enough that they just post our interview. It's great.
Yeah, some guy named Bori, I guess, runs it. I don't really know
Bori?
Much about him. Yeah. When we were up at Heavy Montreal, they were like, do you guys know Bori? And I was like, I know of him. They
were
like,
he there?
He's here. This is like 2 years ago or something.
Oh, God.
But yeah. Yeah, never met the guy. Anyways, without further ado, let's get into my chat with Savy. This is the song Broken Wings off the Follow Me album. A great, great listen. Highly recommended. We'll have links where you can check it out on Amazon up in the show notes. Of course, our website is talkingrock.net, talkingmetal.com. And yeah, here we go. Broken Wings off the Follow Me album by Savy. And then we will hear from Savy herself here on Talking Metal.
I look in your eyes, I see the tears running. I know that we've come to an end. I lose a friend, I lose a brother, I lose your soul and your smile. So take a breath for the good times, a breath for the bad times. For all you've been through, take a breath. We're broken wings, I'm trying to fly. We're broken hearts, I'm trying to find. But I'm not a sinner anymore, and I'm still away from you.
Mark Striegel from Talking Metal and calling in from, I believe, Bulgaria, Savi. Savi, how are you?
Hi from the other side of the world. I'm just fine. It's a pleasure to hear you and to be part of your show.
Oh, you bet. And likewise, we're excited to have you on the show. We have been checking out the rather new album, Follow Me, by Savi, mm-hmm. your band, which is your name, too. And let's talk a little bit about this. This is, correct me if I'm wrong, this is your fifth album?
No, it's our third album.
Third album, okay. Album.
Yes, well, we have one acoustic live DVD, but let's say it's the third studio album.
Okay.
And it was released this year on March, and it has 11 tracks in it. We always stick to that number 11. It's really special for us.
Oh, okay.
And so, it's, again, 11 tracks. We've worked maybe a year and a half on the album, and along with the guitarist Alexandra Zerner. I believe you know her, and she's been on your show also.
Yes, she has.
And
she's awesome.
She's really great. She's really talented, and we always like to work with her on the arrangements, on the ideas, because we really feel good together when we make songs and music. Of course, also the other part of the band, which is the bass player, Rally, who is our composer. He works with me really hard on the songs. Also, the drummer, Pavlin, and the guitarist, Delian. So we really worked hard on the album, and I'm really happy with the results because it's really different from the rest of the albums, from the first album and the second, The Battle Never Ends. And I believe that this album is really our direction and what we really feel now as a band. So I'm really excited about it. The public, the fans like it. They love it, really. And that's really cool. Also, we had two really special guests on the album. I believe you know Thomas Wikström from the band Tyrion.
Yeah.
He made a duet with me on the track The Art of War. And also Jen Majura from Evanescence. She's really, really amazing. And she participated in the track To Hell and Back.
Right. Excellent. Well, let's back up just a little bit. You mentioned Alexandra earlier, Zerner. And she is playing guitar and I believe keys on Broken Wings, right? Is that her involvement with this album, the Follow Me album?
Not only she's really involved, I believe, in almost the whole album.
We
worked with her on the arrangements, on the piano parts and most of the guitar arrangements and the solos. And as I mentioned, we really stick together and work very good together. So we decided to trust her about the arrangements of this album, and we're really happy with the results. And we're also working now on some new material again with Alexandra. So I believe there will be some good material coming up soon.
And where did you guys first meet? Like, where did you and Alexandra first meet?
Oh, I don't remember really.
Yeah, you've known each other a while.
Yeah, we just know each other for a while, yeah.
And so it sounds like, is she a producer on the album? Like, what credit do you give her, like a consultant, producer?
No, I think that she could be really a co-producer because Rally and her, we really did the most of the job on the album. I write the lyrics and the music on some of the songs. Rally, the bass player, as I mentioned, is the main composer. I mean that he works on the music of most of the songs and also on the past albums and etc. So we are something like a team.
Right on.
And then we produce again the arrangements with the rest of the band and so on. And I want to mention Marco Barroso from Italy. He made the mix and mastering of the album, and he did it also for our former album, The Battle Never Ends. So we decided to trust him again to do this album.
Yeah, and the mix, I mean, in the production of the album just sounds great. Mm-hmm. So mixed in Italy, but did you record it right there in Bulgaria?
Yes, in our studio. Yes, we did it here.
Cool.
And Marco, the mix and mastering in Italy. You're right.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, because it's some really big sounds. The production is great. Thank the songwriting's you. Great.
Yeah, he works with Lacuna Coil now. He's really, really talented. He's a cool guy. Yeah.
Yeah, and again, we are talking about the Follow Me record. So let's talk about Jen from Evanescence. You mentioned her involvement. Can you talk about how you know her and how that connection came about?
Well, we met 2 years ago here in Bulgaria on a big festival we played on together. And we kept chatting since. So when we started to work on the album, I decided that I had to invite her to take part in one of the tracks. And I talked to Alexandra and Raleigh, and we decided that maybe To Hell and Back is the right track for her. I mean, knowing her her work, part of Evanescence, her solo albums and stuff like that. So we decided to propose To Hell and Back, and she really loved it. She said yes, and that was really amazing and a really big step for us. So we're really happy to have her in the album. We recorded the song with Alexandra, and then Jen took part in the solo of the song. And then we decided to make also a video record of the track and release it as a single later that year. And Jen was so good and so cool to come here in Sofia.
Wow.
We recorded the video just in one day. We had one day to shoot it all. And it was so cool, so fun together with all these fast cars you will see in the video and the flames and stuff.
Right.
So we were all excited about it and we love the results. And then in September, Jen came to Sofia with Evanescence as part of their European tour. And we had the chance to open their concert in the big arena, Hermes Hall.
Here oh,
in
cool.
Sofia. So we presented the song together in front of the 5,000 or 6,000 people that were there. So it was really cool to all this experience was amazing for us.
Right. Wow, that is great. Yeah, I just saw her play with Evanescence up in Montreal, Canada, here in North America. And yeah, she's great on stage, too.
Yeah,
good stage presence.
Yeah, she's great. Cool person. Amazing. She's amazing. Yeah.
Like, what's the touring schedule like for you guys? Have you been playing shows to support Follow Me, or are there more shows coming up?
Yeah, well, we made a big national tour to present the album here during the spring after the release date. And then we had a really tough summer here with lots of dates all around in Bulgaria and around in Serbia, Romania, Greece and stuff like that. We played on some big festivals along with names like Disturbed or Guan Waves or Wasp. They were here
for
one
cool.
of the big festivals. And it was really hard summer, full of great concerts, great audience. And we're really excited and happy from all these things and all these places we saw and we went to. So now we are back in the studio and we are working on some new material. I am working on my solo album that
oh,
is
cool.
going to be released maybe next year. Fingers crossed. And in November, we'll continue with gigs here in the country. So you can follow our website and check out for coming up dates.
Right. And what is the website? What's the website?
It's saviband.com.
So there is Savi solo material happening. There is new Savi band material happening. Do you envision, I mean, you just put out Follow Me earlier this year. Do you envision another album by the band coming at some point soon?
For sure, another single, a new single coming up next year. But for the album, maybe we'll wait a bit because Follow Me is still rolling very hard. So
yes,
we'll schedule the next album maybe 2021 or something.
And how do you envision your solo material differing? Mm-hmm. What would be the difference in the sound between what you do solo and what you do with the band?
Well, for sure, it will be more acoustic, more natural, more intimate, can't find the word, but and it will be different.
Yeah, intimate.
It will be different. Yeah, thank you. And I've put a demo song on the internet that maybe will be part of the album. It's called Cold Stone Soul. So that song maybe will be also part of my solo album. And it's something like an idea of the style that I'm going to put on the album. So I believe that people will like it because they know that I have many sides and I like to make experiments with our music. So I hope they'll like it really because I put all of my soul in it.
Right. And when you're doing songwriting yourself, do you do it like on guitar, piano? What instrument do you like
piano.
To write on? Piano.
I wish I could play guitar, but I play piano.
Yeah. Okay.
So I use that instrument. And of course, Raleigh is helping me really with the guitar because he plays maybe apart from the bass, he plays guitar, he plays drums. So he's really helpful when we work on some arrangements.
Very good. And let's go way back to your musical upbringing. When did you first start singing? When did you first start being attracted to music? As I'm imagining it was probably as a young girl.
Yeah, I was 2 years old when I started to sing. And I'm not joking. I have recordings from my mother.
Wow, cool.
And I sing since I can remember. I've tried everything for folk music, national Bulgarian folk music, then opera singing. And then during my study in the university, I decided to go to the rock music. And I really found my soul there. So I've never stopped since.
And what are some of the artists and bands that have been the biggest influence on you?
Well, for sure, I was a fan of the bands that were strong during my childhood and during my years in the university and in high school, like Aerosmith or Guns N' Roses, Bon Jovi, Tina Turner. All of these big names that we all know was part of my picture, my musical picture.
Right, cool.
And so I like to hear their music and to be to get inspiration from there.
And what is the music scene like in Bulgaria? Is it are there a lot of people playing in bands or not so many? How would you describe the musical environment and scene? Specifically with rock, with hard rock and metal.
Well, I believe that the rock music scene here is a bit divided in two styles. I mean, really heavy metal stuff and maybe classical rock blues style on the other side. There are a few bands in the middle, I think. But recently, in the past few years, there are many new bands coming up and many big festivals reborn and new ones coming. So the scene is doing really, really good recently, which is great because we are a small market.
Right.
And there were ups and downs in the past 10 or 15 years. But recently, I believe that the things are going really, really well.
Good. That's awesome. It's awesome to hear. And yeah. Are there any other bands that you've seen locally there that have excited you?
There are really cool new bands and we are, I admire their enthusiasm and their work because they are really good material. There is really good material coming up recently, good songs, good songwriting. Some of the bands are working really hard, which I believe is the key to success. So I think that also the audience has started to know more Bulgarian bands and to want to hear them, not only to admire the ones who are coming from abroad or that you're hearing on MTV or whatever. So this is a good sign. And I believe that the Bulgarian rock and metal music scene is going in better days.
Awesome. That's great to hear. So the Follow Me record, it is out now, and I believe it's up on most of the streaming services, right? Spotify,
yes.
And Amazon Music and iTunes.
Yes.
So it can be found just about anywhere, and we really want our listeners check out the music because I think it's some great stuff. And what Thank about you. Social media? You guys on Facebook and stuff like that? I think I saw a Facebook
page,
right?
Yes, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everything. So you can find us almost everywhere in Facebook, like you said, Instagram or whatever. So just follow us, write us there, and we'll be happy to meet you guys. Every one of you who is listening now.
That is awesome. And just a couple more questions. What keeps you busy when you're not doing music?
Well, I like to paint. And recently I'm thinking to start painting again because it's really my second passion. And sometimes I really spend days and days in painting. But recently I didn't have the time to do it. So now I'm thinking to start over again because it's really a nice thing to do and to give your energy to.
Cool. And do you do a certain style of painting? It's like as far as what? Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, do you have? Are you influenced by certain artists, painters?
No, it's
just free form.
Yeah, it's free form. I studied a bit design and that stuff, but when I paint, it's really my style. It's something that that comes from inside, and I don't believe it's influenced by someone or something. It's just me, my energy.
Very good.
I used to paint T-shirts for our fans, unique T-shirts. I mean, you choose a T-shirt with your favorite song, for example, To Hell and Back or Follow Me or whatever, and I paint a unique picture that shows the sign and the message of the song. And that was a cool thing to do in the past couple of years, and fans were really excited to have their unique T-shirt painted
by me. Wow. Yeah. One of a kind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So to take us out here, what song can we play for the Talking Metal listeners off the Follow Me album? I mean, you've mentioned a lot of them, you know, including the title track, Broken Wings, To Hell and Back. What would you like to play for the Talking Metal listeners?
Well, I would suggest To Hell and Back, of course, with Jen, or The Art of War, whatever you like. It's fine. I love all the songs, so I'll leave you to choose.
Okay, well, I tell you what. Let's go with To Hell and Back. Again, this is featuring Jen of Evanescence, and this is off the Follow Me record. And we will have links up in today's show notes on TalkingMetal.com and TalkingRock.net that you can use to get in touch. So thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you, and see you soon.
Pain is the key to the madness. Pain is what keeps you alive. When you wake up in the darkness, when you are weak, you draw strong. I got my eyes still wide open. I keep chasing my to cry over. I got no time to be weak. Hey, I'm not afraid. Hey! I've been to hell. Yeah, nothing to be scared of. And I'm not afraid to die. You can see it in my eyes. I fell and rise again a thousand times. I'm
Savey here on Talking Metal. Big thanks again to Steven Saylor, who's kind of the executive producer of this show, along with all the other people on Patreon. I encourage all you guys to join us there on Patreon. You get a free bonus podcast. Well, it's not free because you're paying for your participation in Patreon, but you can pay as little as $2 a month and you get an extra podcast every Friday. $5 a month, you get some more benefits, not only the podcast, but you get a Talking Metal t-shirt. You know, it's just a great way to support the show, what Emily and I do, and, you know, all the other people we've had involved in this show through the years. Of course, John Astronomy, the co-founder of the show, and Victor Ruiz has joined us here and there, and he's actually on the Mark Striegel podcast, the exclusive Patreon podcast with me. So, yeah, two great interviews. So big thanks to Steven Saylor for helping set that one up. And a big thanks to you, Emily, for the Tom Kiefer interview.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. And
He's one of your favorites.
He is just absolutely one of my favorites. And if you listen to the interview, you know that it was my first rock concert. And the irony of this interview is, and you haven't listened to it yet, Mark, but I asked him what his first album was. And it was The Monkees.
Right.
And my first concert was The Monkees. My second concert was Cinderella. And of course, I went into detail and told him all the morbid details of my experience at that concert being right. like pulled out of the audience because I was being crushed basically as like at age, you know, 12 or 13. But I wanted that Monkees conversation to go on and on and on. And I wish I would have had more time with him because he's bringing up Mickey Dolenz's vocals. He's bringing up Michael Nesmith's guitar playing. He's bringing up the TV show. And you know, Mark,
right.
I've watched every single one of those shows at least 3 times.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go into a little bit more about it, but I almost was like feeling... I don't know. I was feeling a little shy and also like, well, he doesn't want to talk about the Monkees, but maybe next time right. I get him just one-on-one at M3 or something, I'm going to like corner him and talk Monkees for a while for right. sure.
There you go. The Monkees. You should go on that podcast, Zilch. Remember
Zilch
that?
Is yeah. awesome. We love those guys.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we were talking about Metallica, so let's end with some Metallica here on Talking Metal. Wide variety of musical diversity. We thrive on that here, from Tom's music to Savey's music to some old school Metallica right here on Talking Metal, a song that I just love. I guess I'd call this a deep cut, although it's weird because back in the day it really wasn't a deep cut. Phantom Lord, the first song off a side 2 off of Kill 'Em All. And man, for me, every song on Kill 'Em All was great, and every song on Ride the Lightning was great, and every song on, you know, the following two records I thought were great. What a great band. Anyways, this is super old school Metallica, Phantom Lord, off of the Kill 'Em All record. We wish James Hetfield the best, and we hope he is getting well again. All right. Have a great week, guys. We'll see you next Tuesday. Remember, Talking Metal Tuesdays, a new episode every Tuesday.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.